Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's Star Wars week. Why is it Star Wars week, you ask? It's because Disney owns everything and there's nothing else to talk about.
All right.
Welcome to you, Dale Driver.
Hello.
And to you, Matt Persler.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me once again.
Do we need Star Wars names?
There's got to be a generator.
Isn't it just like, if you reverse your name, I feel like you've got a Star Wars name, like Elad.
I'm looking it
would
up.
Would be a Star Wars.
Elad is good, actually. Yeah.
But then surely I become Tam, and that means I work for GameSpot now.
Yeah. I'd be Eod Schlebergs, which actually is kind of good.
You definitely wore that out before several times.
Not as a Star Wars name. I just know that that's my name backwards.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I'm going to look up Star Wars name generator.
Do you know what? Off the top of my head, I cannot do what driver is backwards. So I'm going to have to...
Write it down. Name generator.
Revid. So Elad Revid.
Again, actually kind of good. Oh, this is for Star Wars The Old Republic. Oh, this isn't letting me put my own name in. This is just Den West Stickbot. Pax Jov Bullhut. Nick JD Cave Sale. Oh, come on. It's just coming up with random syllables.
I mean, Star Wars names are terrible pretty much across the board.
I agree. And there's a few of them in The Mandalorian, which we have now watched through non-illegal, we think, means. We found a VPN that worked. Yeah. And so we've seen the first two episodes of Mandalorian.
We have.
We're not going to spoil them. Not even the end of the first one.
Wait, really? Because that's kind of a key part of the second one.
But we have to account for the fact that there will be people who haven't seen it and won't see it until March.
Should we do a timer, maybe? Because it feels like it's hard to talk about without...
Let's talk about it in general for a bit.
All right, okay.
So that everyone can have a bit. And then we'll do spoiler bit later.
All right.
Go on then. You start.
Someone else should start, because I don't think I'm as hot on it as everyone else is.
Yeah. I thought... So I watched the first episode. We watched it together. And my initial reaction was that it felt weird. Mm. Like, it kind of cannons quite violently from really high production value, like very cinematic, quite Western looking stuff, to occasionally looking very TV.
Yes.
And acting very TV. And then there's also Werner Herzog in it, which is just amazing. I'm so happy Werner Herzog's doing stuff this now.
Apparently he's never watched a Star Wars film.
Or knows who Jon Favreau is.
He likes WrestleMania though.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, it's whether he likes it or whether he uses it to keep up with the ceaseless trawl of human degradation.
That ending, I know, very good.
That bit I can do with the nation. The first episode didn't have me fully convinced. I liked it, and there is a twist that we'll talk about later that I think is actually quite exciting and fun. The second episode properly sold me on it. I really liked it. It's 10 minutes shorter than the first episode, which at first I was a bit worried about, but it turns it into this like weird little self-contained like action movie.
Definitely felt like a mini adventure, but
yeah,
without spoiling it, it felt like video gamey to me.
So that's almost part of the thing that I quite like. Yeah, about it
felt very much like this. To move, to progress, you have to complete this quest first.
Yeah, so there is an overarching structure, which I don't think is a spoiler to talk about, which is that there's some sort of Mandalorian ritual about getting back Beskar steel, which is clearly the best steel. Which is probably why it's Beskar.
it's like an Obtanium style of naming
really
things.
It really is. And whenever the Mandalorian finds some, he apparently brings it back and has it turned into a piece of armor. So there's this proper RPG element to this TV show where presumably we're going to see him get better and better armor all the way through.
I think some of the like promotional material has shown him in very shiny, very lovely armor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And obviously at the start, he has
just a helmet.
The helmet is nice condition. The rest of it is very almost Boba Fett looking, right? It's very scraped up. It's not looking at its best.
We see him repairing it as well several times, actually. I thought it was odd that he used his first piece to make a shoulder.
Well, that's because he only has one piece. I mean, he could save up.
I'd make a knee pad first.
Would you?
Like that. I feel like that's more important than your shoulder.
Do you think people are aiming at your knees? You're probably going to get a headshot.
But if you take one in the shoulder, that's not going to hurt you as much as taking one in the knees.
If it takes the arm that you can shoot with.
Think of the skids you can do on your knees.
I'm thinking about, like, what if the Mandalorian does Thai boxing? A lot of knees. He's just big knees up in people's heads. Knees and bows. Yeah. That's what I want to do. Nice. Swinging bows at people.
Obviously, it wasn't a big enough piece to do a chest piece, because obviously that's what you would go for.
That's going to be the last bit, isn't it? He gets a cool big Mandalorian chest
but
bit.
He's not matching now, and that I think that would...
I like that mismatch,
That's very Monster Hunter. But that really works for me, this idea that we're going to see him like build into a good Mandalorian by the end of it. Because the other thing is, he's a bit shit compared to Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Although, actually, Boba Fett
did literally fall into a giant
snarl. Yeah, he just fell off a thing, didn't
he?
He's
just an idiot.
But there's a lot kind of talked about, or a lot hinted at the idea of the Mandalorians being this like warrior religion, and never going into too much exposition about it, which I'm also enjoying, because it feels like I don't know too much about the extended universe stuff they've done with them before. Yeah. So it feels like teasing out little bits about what this race is. And I'm really enjoying that feeling of the galaxy getting filled in.
The characters around him just drop it in casually because they know what it is, but then they just make references to it every now and again. Yeah. I'm enjoying that aspect of learning. Yeah,
this to me feels like what a Star Wars story as a subtitle meant when they first announced it. So when Rogue One did it a bit, but I have my own feelings about Rogue One, but it also does a big job of like, here's how it affects everything you've already seen. And Solo's very much that as well.
Yes.
Whereas this feels like it's just out there. He was around, but he's not touching everything you know and getting his fingers into the stories you know and messing up those plots.
Literally the connections are, every now and again, someone might mention the Empire or something like that, and that's it. They're just people who live in this world, but have got no connection to the Skywalker family whatsoever, which Rogue One and Solo Story, you know, they'd always connect back to
them. And like the connective work it is doing is filling in the gaps between 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Which, no.
No.
No, isn't
six
it?
And
six
seven.
And seven.
Yeah. And that I really like as well, because you just get tiny feelings about, okay, so the Empire is around, but it's dead, but they're holdouts, and this is somehow going to become the First Order eventually, and all those things, that those little like drops of info, I'm really liking putting together. You didn't like episode 2 as much, though.
I think saying didn't like is strong. I didn't like it as much. I came in and Al especially was saying how much he loved it, and other people saying they loved it, and I said I liked it, but I still feel like something's missing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a great TV show to me right now. It just feels like something cool in the Star Wars universe that I'm interested in.
So you don't think someone who didn't already have investment in Star Wars would care if they watched it?
I'm not sure. I can't really put myself in that mindset.
I almost think there's an element of it where, so if I was to take that home to show my parents, who have latent interest, I will watch them if I'm around, but don't follow Star Wars, I think they'd enjoy it because there's no need for my dad to remember certain things that happened in certain episodes. Yeah. It doesn't require a lot of investment in Star Wars. Mm. And actually, like, I think it's probably nothing too bad to say that the second episode is very comedic led.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which A, Star Wars definitely does have its elements of comedy, and Absolutely. This very much relies on that. But also, like, I think that's why I enjoyed Episode 2 so much, because it's not just a story about the Mandalorian and all the mystery that goes into that race. It's actually just a really good bit of physical comedy.
Yeah. And there's loads of Jawas in it.
Yeah.
And I think we've really suffered since Episode 4 for the lack of Jawas in Star Wars.
I got to the point, which I often do with Star Wars, I start asking too many questions about the worlds and the lore and stuff, and then realise it's Star Wars, probably just don't think about this image. Well, like, I assume they're not on Tatooine, otherwise I feel like it would have been
a point made.
But so Jawas have, like, intergalactic travel?
I reckon those sand crawlers can blast off. Someone at the front goes, what do you need? And pulls a massive lever with his entire body weight. And it just flies off.
And if it's not that, then it means the inhabitants of every planet.
They're just like
every desert planet.
There's like fucking space bugs scattered by some comet across the galaxy. Jawas just turning up and nicking your stuff.
But like I said, then I also remembered that every planet in Star Wars is just one biome, and that's it anyway.
Well, of course. So that's sci-fi anyway.
Probably shouldn't worry about that sort of thing too much.
I love how you sound so angry about the single biome planets.
It's mad, isn't it?
You've now put it into my head, the idea of like Jawas coming in on spaceships and trying to negotiate with, like, immigration, and just like, oh, I need to know where your papers are.
Oh, no, wait, don't you, sir.
It's pretty good. I could do Herzog, you could do Jawas. What are you bringing to the table, mate?
Nothing.
You've got Mandalorian stoicness.
I can do that. I can do the silence. Yeah. Easy.
You can just say things like, go away, which you do every day to me.
I thought the second episode was good fun. We're not talking spoilers, but the new character that's been established, I really love.
I think we could do this now, okay? So if you have watched it, and we're not going to ask how, you're probably American or Australian. That's fine. All the UK people turn off. We're going to speak for exactly 5 minutes in three. I should explain what you do. I'll set the timer after this, and then you can skip exactly 5 minutes, and we will have finished talking about spoilers. Promise. Yep. All right. So you've got 3, 2, 1. Go.
Can you imagine being at this point on the internet and not knowing what Baby Yoda is? Right?
Yeah, I know, but we've got to be careful. Yeah. We've got to be the nice guys, because there's so many not nice guys out there.
He is insanely cute.
I love
him. He's adorable. Yeah.
Is it he or she?
Well, it, for the
Doesn't
moment.
Matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Also, like, the fact that it's actually a physical prop in that world adds so much.
It's Gremlins, right?
Yeah.
It's Gizmo.
It's pure Gizmo.
But there's that one shot that I've seen in a GIF form where he peeked around the door and he just did a little soft wink. Oh my God, my heart melted.
I just love the bit where he keeps getting out, like toddling towards him, trying to do his repairs.
I thought he was trying to do the Force, yeah. Just trying to use the Force.
Oh, that moment where he does do the Force bit and stops the... I don't know what that creature is.
Mudhorn or Bighorn or...
And he knackers himself out, has to go and have a nap.
Yeah, that's it. Imagine if Obi-Wan had to have a nap every time he did some stuff.
I love it, but I think there's a great dynamic between like how stoic like the Mandalorian is and how like serious and businesslike is, and then you've just got this wacky little green frog.
Also,
who eats frogs?
I forgot about that.
It's so good, that scene.
I do like the Mandalorian as well. The guy himself, Mando, whatever we're going to call him.
Pedro.
He does have a name, doesn't he?
He has an official name. Yeah, I really like that bit. Someone described the Jawa sandcrawler thing as basically like comedy Mad Max, and it really is him climbing all over that thing as it zooms along and he's just missing rock edges and stuff. But a Jawa's just getting fucked up.
Just blowing him up, just completely pulverizing.
When he first started blasting Jawas, I kind of lost concentration for a second and hadn't noticed that what they were doing was to his ship.
Yeah.
So I thought he'd come over a ledge and just started killing Jawas out of nowhere. And I was like, wow, they're really going in on the dark Mandalorian stuff. Like, it's weird.
But it is wonderful to have all of that happening and then you've just got Baby Yoda's little crib just trundling along behind.
Yeah.
Just on like the tether.
When he's on the chase as well, when he's hanging off the side of it as well. Like, and the baby is still flying behind. I was like, probably could just hold him and just hang back. I've got this.
It is cool that he's got that like mega pram. Like, it's really useful.
The thing I really like about their dynamic is it's almost like it's a bit like Leon, but without the creepy weird shit. Yeah,
there's no implied pedophilia.
Like, no dialogue whatsoever as well. It's just glances exchanged at all times.
Well, the first I noticed as I was watching, I was like, oh, wait, are they going to do a full silent episode? But it's 10 minutes of that episode have no dialogue. No human dialogue anyway. You get Jawas. Yeah. And if they were translated, I bet it would be filthy.
The only person really talking is, I don't know his name, but the I Have Spoken man.
That's Nick Nolte playing him.
What?
Yeah, that's insane. I really like him. I'm sad that he might not be in it again. But I do like the idea that we're going to have this show where people pop up and they're really good and they don't outstay their welcome. Yeah. And then that's it. It's just we're following the stoic guy and the crazy frog baby. And by the time it's ended, they'll have met a load of mates who maybe all come together at the end for a big fight, which would be great.
I mean, we know Giancarlo Esposito, is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
From Gus from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
He's in it, right? And he's probably going to be the bad guy.
Yeah, he'll be almost like the General Hux of this one, won't he?
So I'm very excited for him to show up. And it feels odd that in an 8-episode series that they haven't really established that yet.
Do we fully know that it's 8 episodes? Because I keep saying that, and then I'm not sure.
Well, it's
got to be 8 to 10.
It's done by the end of the year, right? So. Yeah.
I think
we've not got a lot of time left.
But also, I can imagine Werner Herzog only popping up for like one or more episode or something when he goes to turn in his bounty or something.
Apart from anything else, would you really want like this morbid German man hanging around on set for that long? It would be really sad. Get everyone down.
The little interview he did where he was talking about Baby Yoda is like, it's heartbreaking. beautiful.
I imagine looking at that puppet and going, it's heartbreaking. That's the weirdest response.
He is a heartbreaker, to be fair.
Really? Do you reckon?
Well, my wife has no interest in Star Wars whatsoever, will not watch Mandalorian, but I've shown her gifts of Baby Yoda and she's into that. So but during work, I just every now and again send her a new gif of Baby Yoda and she's loving it.
It is like the breakout star of this year. He's very much the new like Haley Joel Osment on the scene. He's going to grow up in a few years and be really ugly and everyone's going to be like, ugh, remember when he was cute? That was great. Yeah. We've got 20 seconds. Say something spoilery.
God, I can't think of anything. Do you think it's weird that people online react and said, it's not actually Yoda, it's a different... Obviously.
He hasn't got a species name. It's not. I did initially think they were called Dagobans, but they're not, are they? That's just where he hung out.
That's where he hid.
Anyway, we've got 2 seconds left. And we're back.
Hey.
Thanks for bearing with us if you haven't watched The Mandalorian. We got it all out of our systems. And that's it now.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about The Mandalorian that can't spoil it? I don't think so.
I like what my doubts about certain aspects of it, I've got to say, I absolutely love the style of it.
And I'm
big into that. I'm big into the music as well. Just the presentation in general.
The music really took a while for me, but second episode, it really got there. Yeah. Also, do you know who's doing it? He's done everything, Ludwig Göransson.
Yes, so he did, what was it? Gav was texting me about it the other day, actually. But,
me and Gav were talking about this, and I'd forgotten that he's the guy that wrote the tune to Redbone by Childish Gambino. That's all him. I want to hear that pop up in the Mandalorian. That would be great. Right. Next Star Wars thing. Jedi Fallen Order.
I've heard of it. I've played it.
A weirdly divisive game. Not outwardly on IGN, you wouldn't know that.
No.
Because I think a lot of our US colleagues played it first or before us. And we gave it an
9.
And then we've done a sort of review roundup from a lot of other people giving their mini reviews, which is a new format we're trialing out. Dan Stapleton, our reviews editor, would love your feedback in the comments, by the way. That's genuinely true. I'm not saying that like go murdering. But everyone on that gave it an 8 or above as well.
Mm.
But I've mostly heard less enthusiastic things from people, I think.
Matt, you finished it, haven't you?
So I am very close to the end, or at least what feels like getting to the wrap-up stage. I've got like the MacGuffins sorted out.
Right.
The McClunky.
The McClunky.
McClunky.
So
don't ever do good noises again.
Sorry. I think... I probably, out of all of us, maybe have the more affinity to the FromSoft games, which is quite clearly where Jedi Fallen Order takes a lot of its inspiration from.
I, for me, like, I don't really play those games, but I know a lot about them, and it feels like they wanted to be inspired by it, but kind of flapped it a little bit.
Is it fair to say they flapped it when really what I think they're doing is just
trying
not...
trying to make that more approachable.
Yeah, they're not trying to fuck up everyone playing their nice game.
Yeah, so the one thing that it does do that I think is maybe something that's good to put out at the start is... if you haven't played Fallen Order yet and you're like, oh shit, it's a Sekiro, don't worry. Like, there is absolutely nothing in the game that suggests that you should play it at a certain difficulty. Mm-hmm. And like the trophies or the achievements don't penalise you, and there's nothing in the story to say sort of like you need to be playing at normal or above to earn anything. Yep. If you just want to play it with the easiest combat setting, that's it. Like, literally, you play the game and it makes no difference.
And that's what I do. Yeah. Like, I played about the first 2 hours on the normal, whatever the normal equivalent is called. And I have no desire to play those games because I am not interested in losing progress at any point. Like, if it takes me back and I've lost 10 minutes, I'm not into that. So I was like, well, I'm putting it down in easy mode because of that. But also, I'm a Jedi. I want to feel like a badass. I want to cut through people. And for me, now it's a much more fun experience.
Yeah, sure. I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm the least far through of all of us, but I did exactly the same thing once you suggested I do it. And as soon as I did it, I was like, oh yeah, now I'm a Jedi.
Yeah, exactly.
This is good.
Not a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
So I started on Jedi Master, which is the second highest difficulty.
There's four, aren't there?
Yeah.
So that's like a hard.
It is, yeah. That's because the description is for people that are familiar with melee combat games, which I guess what it means is, are you familiar with Dark Souls? And basically, I played quite a few hours on that, but I ended up turning it down to normal, largely because I did the same thing that I did with Zelda in that I went the wrong way early on in the game.
Same. Except it was easy for me.
Yeah. So it does that whole thing like what Zelda does. Not so much what Dark Souls tends to be a little bit more linear, so you can't really get the wrong path so much in a Dark Souls game, but it does a bit where like you have a ship and it's like, okay, you've done the intro planet, now you can do three other planets, I think it is.
It's two. Yeah.
Your objective is on one, but your pilot, Grease, is it? Yeah. He's like, oh, but you can go anywhere.
He literally says the words,
choose where you want to go.
It's your choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not your choice.
No.
Because you go to that planet, and if you're me, you just fight through everything and get to the end, and you're like, oh, great.
Can't do anything.
There's nothing here, and it didn't tell me there's nothing here.
Yeah.
And if you're you, you spend 2.5 hours fighting people on it.
and there is, you can get something from that planet very early on, which does make your, and I'm not going to spoil what that is. There's enough people that have spoiled what's on that planet anyway. But it did make life easier in other areas because it adds an element to your combat. But basically the way that the combat works is it's sort of a Sekiro system in that enemies that use melee attacks have a block meter, and each individual strike that you perform against them reduces that block meter. When you completely eliminate the block meter, it gives you a window that you can do proper damage on. Against a stormtrooper, proper damage is probably going to kill them because they're little idiots. But against someone that's a little bit better trained, you're going to have a proper, you know, Sekiro like tussle and throw. And it's not as deliberate as Sekiro is. It's not got that very, very distinct need for very almost like counting the frames. But my problem with it is I really like the feeling of combat, especially as a Jedi, that makes me feel like I'm disciplined and each strike is important. And I like that feeling of being a trained Jedi. But the system isn't, because it's not as refined as what From Software's games are, I find that I can't fucking find those parry windows to save my life. Like, if I'm in one-on-one combat with, I find when you go up against people that actually have lightsabers, that combat feels like it's what they've put the most time and refinement into.
Yes.
And I find that those fights feel good, and I understand where all of the windows are and stuff like that. Going up against gangs of stormtroopers, and I don't really think that combat system is designed well enough to cope with gangs of enemies.
Yeah.
Like, if you, in a game like Bloodborne, go up against a gang of enemies, they're all
dead.
Well, because they, Bloodborne doesn't have really the parrying system that Sekiro has, but like going up against a gang, normally they're quite easy to cut your way through.
Mm.
It's just that you have to be very deliberate about the way you approach that team.
Okay.
When you fucking go up against a group of stormtroopers in this that all can block and all can basically parry, like that encounter design isn't designed anywhere near as well as it is in FromSoft games. So you go through all of these enemies where I'm enjoying a lot of what it's trying to do, but it's not refined enough to do what it wants to do.
Mm. Sure.
And that comes across, I feel, in almost everything it does, which means that it is a game that I am enjoying for the most part, but then quite keep getting to areas where I'm like, this is shit. Why is it in there? Platforming being the other bit.
I think the pacing is really bad in that game. Yeah. And like for all the notions they've made for the combat to feel like in a sort of modern take, it feels like the platforming aspect of it feels like 10 years ago.
And
like the sliding down, any sliding is some of the worst sliding I've ever seen in a game, because you're always...
Because he's not skidded.
But how many times did you fall off the edge
when
you were going around
them.
Corners and stuff and you were going in too fast? Eventually I realised I had to pull back on the analog stick to slow down to go around corners. That doesn't feel very cool.
That's not fun.
And also just... I feel like the wall running is so overdone and it doesn't feel like a real world.
That's what bothers me. Yeah, it's the gaminess of those worlds.
Yeah.
Like you get places and you're like, oh, well, this is a cool looking place. And then you realise that functionally what you've got are corridors.
Yes.
But they just haven't got roofs on them.
It feels like a little big planet level sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know exactly how they could have done that and had as many planets, because it would then become an absolute nightmare. But I would think I'd prefer a game that just had three big worlds that were designed in a way that kind of works for that, rather than this weird like little fiddly map that just never feels quite right to me.
I like, especially going from playing something like Death Stranding, where despite what you think about the game, like the actual like getting across the world feels like legitimate and like a real effort. You know, you have to plan out your route, and you've done
something to get there.
There's real rocks in front of you that you really have to climb over and stuff like that. Whereas this game, you like, where's the path? Where's the object that I need to interact with?
Where's the ridged wall?
Yeah, exactly. And then there's stuff later on. There's stuff on Kashyyyk. I don't know if we're saying planets, but
everyone knows Wookiees are in it.
Okay, and then there's, you'll probably know what I'm doing, those things that sort of help you jump. It's like,
yeah,
it's so contrived. It just feels like it's pointless. Mm-hmm. Like, why there are,
I don't mind the fact, like, I am fine with the fact that it's a video game. Like, I don't need it to be a simulation of a planet.
No.
But when I know that I'm doing lots of comparing it to FromSoft's worlds, but it's like, Bloodborne is, if you stripped all of the like the visuals away from it, a Bloodborne level or a Sekiro level is exactly what we've got in Fallen Order.
Okay.
But when you put those skins on, they make them feel much more believable environments.
I feel like Bloodborne and Dark Souls are built more like Doom levels than they are built like Fallen Order levels, where it's that like corridor, big wide open space for a fight.
Oh, definitely.
And like, I don't, Fallen Order hasn't felt like that to me so far. It feels way more like I'm just walking down like straight areas of enemies.
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel like I have room to experiment within that stuff, which I think you do in.
They're very much like rabbit warrens to a degree. Like, and obviously when you open the Hollow map, and I do think the Hollow map, it's confusing at first, but has merits because as a like a Metroidvania game that has been sort of like made a little bit more accessible, thing I really like is when you found an area, it will put a big like red door on it, say, look, you don't have the stuff that you need to get through here, so don't even bother.
And yellow sections to go to, you haven't looked here. Like, I think that's a really smart way to do it. I've seen a lot of people complain about that map.
Really?
And so far, I've been looking at it and going, this is great. This is telling me exactly where I need to go. Matt,
the first time I looked at it, it felt daunting. But now it's like second nature to dive. When I've got to work my way back to ship, and boom, straight up, let's see where we go.
And when you sort of like, it breaks the individual sections down. So it's not like this planet you've explored 80% of. It's like, yes, the planet you've explored 80% of, but you've only done 40% of this section here. Yeah. And you've done 90% of this bit, and you've found all the crates here. So if you are a completionist, like, that map is quite helpful.
There he is.
And also, I reckon it's quite an easy plat.
Absolutely, mate. I know that I've already earmarked it. What are you going for? And I think, maybe we are being slightly negative. I am having a really good time with aspects of it, but all the stuff I've mentioned, and also it looks like shit as well. Am I the only one that thinks that?
I don't think it's a good looking game.
No,
not at all.
I think it's a game that looks like a game, and it's one of those where, like, I've got used to Star Wars games, especially over the last few, being very high production, because DICE games obviously always look very, very nice, and so Battlefront looks great. And this is, like, I don't think it necessarily looks shit, but it looks like a video game. Nobody's got particularly great textures on their faces. I think his hair is actually quite good.
It flaps quite a lot. I haven't seen a lot of flappy hair since SSX Tricky, when the guy with the afro, his afro would go like Marge Simpson when he jumped off stuff.
Again, I think that's unfortunate that it's come straight after Death Stranding, which is just an outstandingly looking game. Like,
that engine
beautiful
is phenomenal, isn't it?
But some of the, I think the stuff on your actual ship. I think that all looks good. Like, everything tight. It's just the open worlds. Like, it's looking at the worlds in the distance, they always...
There's a lot of fog.
And yeah, that fog is not very good. It's not, like, really nice volumetric fog. It's quite flat. And
yeah, quite Spider-Man 2-y. Yeah, almost as if there used to be stuff behind it, and it kept on chugging. So...
But yeah, you know, to say all of that, there is something that compels me through it. When it's working right, I do really like it. And as much as it hasn't met the mark, like, it is effectively a combination of FromSoft and Tomb Raider.
Yes.
Two of my favourite sets of games. Mm-hmm. This fundamentally is my ideal Star Wars game. Mm. I just feel like if this sells enough and they can do another one and they don't have to tie it presumably to a film that they want to get it out before, I genuinely think this could be like an Assassin's Creed to Assassin's Creed 2, where the next one would genuinely be really, really good.
I definitely think there's ideas. I would like to see them expanding more on, like, the upgrading the lightsaber, customizing your lightsaber and stuff. I feel like it's quite bare bones, quite basic.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like him to have a blaster. And I know that, again, is another Bloodborne element where you had a gun on the side, but just being able to do something to sort of, like, you deflect someone and then you can just whip the blaster from underneath and shoot them through the chin or something.
I think for the prospects of a sequel, it's, like, just a good sign that this is called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Like, that immediately sets up the idea that this is a series that we are going to have. Like, whether it's always the same thing,
well,
I'd rather
not play as Cal again.
Yeah.
Because someone described him as he's Luke Skywalker made for people that didn't like how edgy Luke Skywalker was.
that reminds me of my favourite thing ever said about Michael Owen, which is that he doesn't like vanilla ice cream because it's too spicy. Then Cal fits into that. I have to say, I think it's possibly just because I saw that the real life actor was getting a ton of shit on Twitter. Which is not fair. He's a man. Yeah. He did a job. It's, like, not his fault.
His performance capture, genuinely very good. I just think he's a little bit bland, and that's not his fault. That's
he's
the
been
scripting
directed.
Fault. But his actual, like, lightsaber moves are great. Like, he uses a lightsaber phenomenally well.
Did you see that thing going around of him saying 4 years ago had no idea, or 2 years ago had no idea, and it's like him at a Star Wars convention hugging a Wookiee, and then in-game Cal hugging a Wookiee.
Oh my God.
Which is very cool.
That's cool.
But what I was going to say is I think I'm being very nice to him and saying, like, oh, he's not that bad, just because I feel bad for the real man. I would be interested to see Star Wars Jedi as a thing. And also, I will say that even the most vociferous haters of the game that I've come across, like, that aren't maniacs on the internet, have all said the ending is fantastic. Yeah. Which that's what's pushing me through is I really want to know what that means.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. And also, it's only like, what, 15, 20 hour game as well? It's not like.
We've got an email
hours.
About that, actually.
Mm-hmm. So I'm pleased about that because they could have, you know, using the inspiration they got, they could have gone for a big 80 hour thing. They haven't. They've gone for the other inspiration, which is Tomb Raider, which is nice and, you
know,
reasonably short.
Keep it tight.
You gotta.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the Rise of Skywalker TV spot briefly? Just to keep up the Star Wars business?
There's not much to say, really. It's quite short, isn't
it's a 30 second tease.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of new images in there.
Yeah.
Biggest to me is Kylo Ren's all weird red glued together helmet.
Yeah, because that's based on the idea of, like, you know, is it Japanese when they put together broken ornaments?
Yeah.
Or is it China that will use they use gold to emphasize that the faults in the item are actually part of the history of it, and they make it more beautiful. So I think that's what it's based on.
I would say, though, as someone who was an engineer in a previous life, it's a very clean job.
I mean, he's pretty good at the welding with whatever red weld he's
using. It's
amazing.
It's so clean. I was like, geez, you've done some good polishing work on that afterwards.
It's almost like you just got it remade and just stuck a load of red lines over it with paint.
Drew some red lines around it.
I think that's a very cool looking image.
Absolutely.
And I hadn't even thought about it in those terms, and that's very cool.
I think seeing the Vader mask was pretty cool, although we kind of knew what it was from the last trailer, roughly.
Yeah,
you got like one
very
frame
melty.
Where you could kind of see it.
I'm big into the new Stormtrooper bikes with the big flat wheels that shoot stuff out front of them.
We got big bikes and we got horses as well.
Yeah. I didn't notice. I don't know whether it's just not looking close at the last one, but I didn't realise in the horse scene that BB-8's at the front, like, zooming along with him. It's like, is BB-8 going to kill someone?
Do you think the very opening bit, when it's just Poe Dameron looking at 3PO go, what are you doing there, 3PO? It sounds like he's caught him wanking or something. It's like, what are you doing?
I'm just having one last danger wank.
It was very weird. I thought it was quite an odd situation. Yeah, also, stop staring at me, you little freak.
It does feel like there are that's one of those things where when we actually see the film, those two lines are going to be so far apart each other. Because it is an odd... He's like... He says something like, oh, all the stuff we've done together. He's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing, mate? What?
That's weird. How's that the response to what he's just said?
I thought there's some quick hints of some things that look very visually spectacular.
I like the continuing return to what looks like the sort of Mad Maxi resistance camp.
Yeah.
With all the, you know, coloured powder flares and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone loves these days.
And what about the bit when she's jumping off, I guess, like a Star Destroyer, like through the
space.
Field into space.
Yeah.
And Finn is just like hanging out, leaning out.
Yeah.
Are we just forgetting the rules of space completely?
Well, no. I mean,
we do in Star Wars anyway, but...
Leia force pulled herself through space in the last one. But yeah, I was confused by that because the implication of the shot before where... Kylo and a bunch of Empire people like, behind him.
So the seal is broken, people. Right?
Yeah, it's like it bursts over them as if there's a rush of air.
Yeah.
But that would be a rush in the other direction. Mm. I don't know what's going on in this galaxy. Have they got different rules or something?
It looks cool.
It does look very cool.
So that's all that matters.
I do like the idea. Oh, actually, that might not be in space because there is that shot of all the Star Destroyers that are seemingly above cloud cover.
Oh. So I wonder there a Star Destroyer that comes out of the water in one of the previous trailers as well. So they obviously are on planet.
So I wonder
if... It looked like space. Though,
it did look a bit like
space. Was it just a night sky?
But yeah, it could just be a night time.
It's really cold then.
Yeah.
Up there.
But yeah, I do wonder if that's maybe how they get around it.
Maybe.
Anyway, I'm into it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good spot. You can watch it on IGN.com.
And it comes out really soon.
It's mad, isn't it? It's freaking me out. I've got a holiday that week now. I'm going to go crazy.
And it's like the last Star Wars film we're going to get for like 3 years as well.
Yeah, but we'll have like 300 different TV series in that time, so I don't think it matters anymore. It doesn't really count. Right, Dale, I believe you've brought a game for us.
I did.
Is it going to continue the Star Wars theme?
It does. Time was slim, so I searched through the folder of all the games that people have sent us. Please send in more games, by the way.
Yes, we've had an amazingly huge response, and I know it's partly because we're giving things away, but we've had a very gratifying response to It's Football Day.
It's like an insane response.
It's been very strange. And I hear that people at the Sports Interactive like it, which I'm super into.
They've listened to it.
Someone has.
Oh, that freaks me out.
Yeah, PR told me.
What have I said?
I don't think he said anything naughty. But thank you for listening to that. The people who've won that competition will find out today, or will have already found out by the time you hear this, so that's nice.
Cool.
But yeah, we do need, in alongside the Football Day stuff, we need new games.
Send
us
your games, because otherwise we're starting to fall back into playing the same ones over and over again.
Like this one. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
So this was sent in by Andy Callan, and I want to say I didn't put the date on this, but probably about 2 or 3 months ago.
Yep.
So I think we played it before, and he called it "Play Your Movie Cards Right."
Ooh,
which is
Is this box office takings up and down?
No, this is Rotten Tomatoes scores.
But I think we did play this.
We did play this, but for this purpose, it's play your Jedis right.
Right.
And when I say Jedis, I mean Star Wars movies. Star Wars movies didn't roll off the tongue as well. Anyway, Andy Callan, he says, similar to the classic play your cards right, you'll start with a movie and it's Rotten Tomatoes audience rating.
Mm-hmm.
You'll reveal the next movie and the players take it in turn to guess if it had higher or lower rating than the previous movie. There are a total of, this is the old one. He said 10 movies, but there is actually 12, I think, of Star Wars. Every Star Wars movie except for The Last Jedi as well.
Okay.
Not Last Jedi.
What's Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker, that's it. Right, so who we start with, I don't know. It's going to be Matt.
Right, okay.
So, the first film, A New Hope.
Okay, so we're going chronological then rather than...
No, we're not.
Well.
It's just my order. So I'm going to tell you, before I tell you what the Rotten Tomatoes score for this, do you want to have a go at guessing it?
I'm going to say it's lower than you think, because if we... Well, no, I don't know how Rotten Tomatoes does their critics.
Yeah, so it's a critic one, it's not audience.
But is this from the time of release, or does this include like reviews of special editions?
I bet it includes reassessments.
Yeah.
I mean, this one doesn't matter. There's no points.
No, I just want to get it right.
I'm going to guess it's 93.
I'm going to guess 84. 7.
It is 93.
Nice.
There we go.
Yes. Okay. Right. So here's where we go. The next one is Rogue One. Is it higher or lower than 93?
It's lower.
What do you think, Joe?
Oh, do I get? Do I go
both,
as well?
We both go. And
yeah, I would also say lower.
You both think it's lower?
Mm-hmm.
You both are correct. It's 84%.
Okay. Cool. Should be lower than that.
The Last Jedi.
I think he's higher.
Higher.
You both think it's higher.
Yeah.
You're both correct again.
Yes.
It's 91%.
Oh, yeah. So
which seems really, really high.
But see, do you remember we gave it like 9.8 when it came out, I think?
Oh, yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I personally agree with it. I think that's a fucking wicked film.
I think that's a bit of a high score, but I do. I
wouldn't give it 9.8. I would agree that it is a very good film.
Yes.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Revenge of the Sith. Higher or lower than 91?
Lower.
I know. I should have thought about how I ordered some of these. that is 80%. Hopefully this will
80?
80%.
For Revenge of the Sith?
Yes. Can you believe that?
Christ
There's
alive.
A couple of mad ones in it.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. Higher than lower than 80?
Higher.
Just for fun, lower.
Bear in mind, I threw this here in 5 minutes. It is lower.
Yeah.
No, sorry. It is higher.
Hey.
I read the one above.
I hate you.
I'm not good at doing the games, by the way. I just want to clarify that right now. It has 81, so it's 1% difference.
Geez.
So it's super tight. So, Matt, you got that right. Solo, higher or lower than 81%?
See, Solo wasn't hugely across the board, you know, a big success, but 80 on sort of like things like Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritics, that 10-point field is just very crowded.
Yeah.
81.
That was a very long answer.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually going to say higher.
I'm going to say lower.
You're saying higher, Joe's saying lower. It's lower.
Is Solo- it actually lower this time, mate?
Yes. Solo got 70%.
Yeah, really?
Which is like, yeah, like 11% lower than Return of the Jedi.
I bet that's the lowest of all the Star Wars films.
I would hope fucking not.
But I bet it is.
I'm going to say right now, you are wrong.
Okay.
In that regard. All right, good. Who got that right?
Me.
Oh. Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that's one of them.
So higher or lower than 70%?
See, infamously given 5 stars by Empire magazine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people really love those long-necked aliens.
What were they? Horizon.
Kaminoans. Yeah.
Solo with 70%, higher or lower?
Higher. Lower.
Joe, you're right, 66%.
Oh, really?
Yes. Attack of the Clones is the worst one.
So
surely.
It is the worst. I fucking hate Attack of the Clones, but I thought at the time it was okay assessed. I suppose that is an okay score for a film that's that bad.
I went to the cinema to see that like 2 or 3 times. I don't know what I was doing.
You're a little bit older than me as well. You've got no fucking excuse.
Right? I was so excited.
It's because you also hate sand.
The Clone Wars, the animated
Lower.
Lower. Really? Higher or lower than 66%?
I'm going to say higher.
Lower.
It is lower by a fucking substantial margin. It's 18%.
What? Yeah, it's garbage.
I love Clone Wars.
No, the Clone Wars TV series, good. The Clone Wars film, bad.
Oh, shit.
But is it 18% bad compared to Attack of the Clones? 66%?
I mean, 66% for Attack of the Clones is overrated anyway.
Yeah. The Phantom Menace. Higher or lower than The Clone Wars?
Higher.
Joe?
Sorry, say that again.
You're really enjoying this, right?
I was just doing something else.
Phantom Menace.
Oh, it's higher.
It is higher. It's 53%.
Oh, wow, that's lower than I thought it would be. I thought Phantom Menace would have more than Attack of the Clones.
I suppose when it first came out, there was that couple of weeks where it was very positively received, and then it...
We're going to see Star Wars!
Have you ever watched that YouTube video of all the people reacting to when it first came out?
Yeah. So, yes, yeah. I have.
The Force Awakens.
Higher.
Yes, that's an easy one, right?
Yeah.
What are we talking?
93%. Which is
joint highest?
Yes, it is joint highest.
I mean, they are sort of the same film, aren't they?
That's true.
So,
we got him. He's just told us that it's the highest. Now we know what one is.
And the last one is Empire Strikes Back.
So lower.
Lower.
It's higher, 95%.
You're a prick!
I didn't. I almost slipped on it, and then I sort of adjusted to try and bluff you a little bit.
Didn't help because we've both got the same points at the end of this.
Let's call it a draw.
Or I mean, if he got 93% at the start, so I think you win.
There you go, Matt. You win
through honour.
We will never play that again. Thank you very
not
much.
Not for Star Wars. I really like the game.
Thank you, Andy. But yes, maybe not me as the quizmaster. It's probably the best
maybe
way
not.
To
maybe no. not. Feedback, Dale. I'll give you a short one.
Okay.
I think you enjoy this one, if I remember
oh,
correctly.
Oh my god! Yeah. Wait, I thought we'd read this on its football day.
No, leave it now, because we've said we had a lovely response to its football day. We've only had one negative response.
you say it's negative. I think it's a positive.
Yeah.
So this is from Nazim Jamil Mir, and he says in the headline it says. Football podcast equals, and then a little emoji of a bell, and then a little emoji of a left arrow and end. Then he says, mate, and that's M8.
Yeah, classic.
I deleted that podcast before I even finished downloading. Cheers, Nazim.
I mean, to be fair,
keep listening.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who did the same. Nazim just wanted to tell us.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if football's not your thing, I completely get it. Why would you want to listen to that? Delete it.
Yeah.
Probably don't send in an email calling us bellends.
Well, he said the podcast is a bellend.
Well, he said football club. Yeah, that's weird.
Doesn't necessarily mean we are.
The podcast is a bellend.
Yeah. I would love that as a podcast. I want a podcast called Your Podcast is a Bellend. I'd listen to it. Nazim, get on it.
Yeah, cheers, Nazim.
Matt.
Right.
You're back on our general topic for the day.
That's lovely. So this is from Chris Boots in Blackburn. It says, hi guys, massive fan of the pod. It's one of the highlights of my week to what sounds like a great bunch of mates talking about all the beautiful nerdy stuff I love. And football day is a great addition.
Nice.
There you go.
Yes.
You're getting praise all round.
Except from the Z.
I know, right? he is literally on the floor at the moment.
I like Nazi.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing and finishing Fallen Order in the last week, and as a massive Star Wars fan, I had a great time with the game. One of the biggest gripes I've heard, apart from the spaghetti Wookiees.
Yeah, if you haven't seen what the Wookiees look like in Jedi Fallen Order,
they...
Ooh, give yourself a little treat.
The thing that weirds me out more is how skinny they are.
They are very skinny.
Yeah, they all look weedy.
Yeah.
Rodney and Only Fools and Horses.
They're all Nicholas Lyndhurst in the capture.
The biggest gripes I've heard is that it's too short. I found it pretty much the perfect length, leaving a compact blockbuster effect, but without the emotional charge being drained and diluted by 200 hours of fetch quests. Mm. My question is, do you prefer a game like this at the 15 to 20 hour mark, or would it benefit more from a Skyrim or even a Witcher 3 level of depth?
Mm. I think this game would not benefit from that.
No.
Like, it's always game... there's a lot of people, myself included, who've come out and been like, the older I get, the shorter I want games to be, which is
definitely
particularly common amongst game writers.
Yeah.
Because you've got to play them all, so it's
exactly,
easy.
Yeah.
But really, I think it's always a question of content. Like, The Witcher works as a 200-hour game because it has the flexibility and interest to do so. Like... you would feel shortchanged by a 20-hour Witcher. But if The Witcher was a game in the style of Fallen Order and it had its own small Witcher side tale to tell, which is kind of its DLC in a way, that's a 20-hour game. Like, that just makes sense.
I mean, would you want this game to be 10 hours longer but have 10 hours of filler, not fun stuff to do? Like, just because it's longer doesn't mean it's all good.
I mean, not if I've got to get there via the skids or fucking trying to find invisible wires hanging in the ceiling and stuff like that.
Yeah,
me. But so I think that Fallen Order feels the right length, especially because it's also introducing maybe a lot of people to a style of game that can be quite punishing.
Yep.
And also the idea of, I mean, obviously people did have Dark Souls as their first introduction to that and had to do an 80-hour epic in it. But for Star Wars fans, I think that's the perfect length to deal with that. I quite happily play a very big Star Wars game, but I think that for me would be Knights of the Old Republic.
Absolutely.
3.
Yeah.
Like, I've loved the Knights of the Old Republic as a ways of having a really long, in-depth sort of time with a Star Wars and seeing a different side of that universe. If they were to do a third one, and you know, maybe that could, you know, borrow a few ideas from this game, but it's not going to be this style of game, is it? It would be an RPG. And I think in general, like you say, Joe, kind of like, I generally like a lot of games that are about this length, but also 4 times a year, I don't mind doing the big, you know, 120, 200 hour thing.
4 times a year, blimey.
I'm a single man. I've got plenty of time.
I do like, you mentioned this kind of idea of it being an introduction to a genre that people might not have played. Mm-hmm. I do like this sort of slow move we're seeing to big developers trying stuff in more niche genres, but making it a little more accessible. Like, I played and talked to the developers of Minecraft Dungeons at XO19. And what really interesting part of that chat was they're huge, clearly huge Diablo fans. Mm-hmm. Only one of the two really wanted to say that, but wanted to make a game like that. But they also know what their audience is. Yeah. So what they've made is a really, outwardly right now at preview level, an interesting take on Diablo that works for people who've never played those games, but also has like a little bit to it for people who haven't, or for people who are really familiar with it and like messing around with the structures of it. I think it's really cool. I'd like to see more of that.
That thing like we discuss, you know, quite a lot of discussion around AAA tends to be around the idea of like, there's no risk, there's no innovation. You know, like it's very bold to do a Star Wars Souls Light.
Yeah.
You know, that this is innovation in Star Wars. It's not just a first person shooter. It's not just a, you know, Force Unleashed style hack and slash.
Yeah.
Like, this is something really interesting, even though it doesn't succeed in all its goals. I'd rather have that than 100%. Another bland first person shooter.
I'm into that. Right. Final bit of feedback's from Charles Fanzi, who we have spoken to you before. Spoken to you, as proved by this. Hi all, last time I emailed I mentioned that I held a D&D session that revolved around Dale's short film.
Ah, this guy.
And he says, even though I took liberties with it, sorry.
That's alright.
I believe Matt asked me what I did to put D&D into a space setting. What we used was a version of a Pathfinder but has been worked into a space theme called Starfinder. Do you know what that means?
I have heard of this. I'm actually pretty sure that JR over in our US team has been doing something with Starfinder.
Oh, okay. The basics of it is almost the exact same to D&D, but has a few different skills and checks, so I just tweaked a few things a bit, which is good enough for us. So there you go. There's your explanation. Yeah. I think that's cool. Anyway, last podcast, you guys talked about game cover art. I think that was maybe two podcasts. No, maybe. Anyway, shut up. Me. And if there are any that are cool that we could think of. When you guys started talking about it, I instantly went to the cover art of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, both the first and second. I think my attraction to them is that it looked like they could just be posters for the next upcoming Star Wars movie. To that point, I think this works out great for games because, in my opinion, they tell a story great enough to be a film, maybe the first one more than the second, but still. Which is a good point. I think Star Wars games in general always have quite good art. Maybe Force Unleashed aside.
Force Unleashed is a bit... did it have like a collector's edition which was just man I can't remember his name of,
yeah, the poster man,
yeah, pulling a Star Destroyer out of the sky. And I think that
wasn't
might
he
been,
called Starkiller,
that yeah, was yeah. it Starkiller, yeah,
Dave Starkiller
that's it.
And that looked cool, but I just remember the actual covers being a bit very
wasn't
video
it just
game-y.
Him sort of screaming and rage
with like lightning bolts coming out and stuff like that. Yeah,
the naughty guy. Lastly, I had a question for you guys that I always wonder myself. What are your thoughts / opinions on tattoos? Specifically, if you don't already have one, is there anything about gaming or anything about gaming wise or nerdy that would make you want to get that as a tattoo? I believe Dale already has some, but what about the rest of you? He personally has a tattoo of the Sith Empire on his leg. The entire Empire. Very detailed.
It's like that shot in Force Awakens where you can see it lined up like the
that would
Nazis.
Actually, that's, well, apart from the Nazi Association, cool tattoo. And a sleeve of Shenron from Dragon Ball Z in a Japanese style on my right arm. So.
I don't know what Shenron is.
But yeah, I think it's the dragon.
Oh, okay.
I think it's crazy. The big dragon.
With the little moustache. Well, I say little big.
And when I say I think, I mean I am guessing. So apologies if I'm wrong, Charles. Tattoos wise, I often toss around the idea of getting a tattoo. But I think anything I get would be stupid. And I would like it at the time, and then I would regret it days later.
I don't know, it's hard to say. When you haven't got one, you don't really know how you'll react to it.
I had a dream.
I've got ones that are stupid though, and it doesn't bother me.
This is bonkers. I had a dream the other day that I got a tattoo of the logo of the Pod Bible podcast, which is a podcast review program on which friend of the podcast Pete Donaldson went on and mentioned our podcast once.
Oh, really?
And in my dream, as thanks to the Pod Bible podcast, I got their logo on my arm.
It's
and I remember,
that's a good gesture.
And not only did I get their logo, it was a shit version of it. And I remember looking at it straight afterwards and being like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then I woke up. I had a nightmare about tattoos. That's how worried I am about the idea of getting one.
I'm relatively happy with most of the ones I got. There's some that I wish I could have got done better and stuff like that, but whatever, it doesn't really bother me. There's so many, it doesn't bother me. I really for ages now have wanted a big Star Wars themed one as well. One day I might actually pull my finger out and get it.
Have you got any nerdy ones?
I've got a lot of music based ones. There's a Street Fighter one on my wrist here. It's Quarter Circle Punch.
Oh, yeah.
Got that done when I was just massive into Street Fighter 4 and I just felt like getting it. But yeah, it's mostly music based and stuff like that. What else? I've got friends who've got really stupid tattoos.
I thought you meant you've got a tattoo of the TV show Friends.
Chandler's over my nipple. Yeah.
Could I be any more on Dale's chest?
I've got, like, so I used to play a Sunday League football team, and we made bets. So I made a bet at one point, if we finished in the top half of the league, I'd get the league table tattooed on my ass.
Christ.
But we never did, thank God. But some, two of my friends got our club logo tattooed on him. One of them got him on his, on the back of his thigh, not on the back of his thigh, on the back of his ankle.
Yeah,
it's fucking huge. It like takes over the whole thing. And when I see it to this day, it's like, I can't believe you actually got that.
What is the logo?
It's just someone, we got a, like a circular logo just designed for the football team. And then
it's not
the,
like E Pluribus Anus from Community or anything.
And then my other friend got it tattooed on one of his arse cheeks. And to say it overtakes the entire arse cheek is not even giving it credit. It like completely covers one arse cheek. It's ridiculous.
What?
Yeah,
that's bonkers.
When I see him, I still remind him. Okay, I'm sure he remembers every day, but I like to point out, you've got that tattooed on your ass.
If you haven't seen Matt, he's basically a human tattoo sleeve.
Oh yeah,
so,
absolutely,
absolutely covered.
I am completely clean. I was discussing this
clean.
No, I was talking to Krupa about this the other day because I think we both had that idea of kind of like, mentally, so I'm like, I quite like something, you know, I'm a quite creative sort of person, but I'm like, I just don't think I'm a guy for tattoos. But also the problem I have is like, I get super into things and then I'm not as into them later on. And I'm like, in a position where I'm super into something, I'd probably get it. And then sort of like 4 years down the line, I'm like, well, I still like that, but it's not a massive part of my life anymore.
I don't think that's as bad when you get into past your mid-20s. That sort of thing, like, you have sort of firmer ideas of what sort of things you like.
Well, you just stop liking things in my experience.
But if I, like, exactly what you just said though, if I was 18 and got, I'd have like a Limp Bizkit tattoo on me or something ridiculous like that. God.
So I had been thinking about
Nookie across your forehead.
That's what I do it for.
I've been thinking of things that I've been into for, like, you know, like I could say, I've, for 20 years I've always been into that. And sort of like, you know, when I was a kid, Harry Potter was really formative for me. So I thought, and it still today is something that's important to me. So I was like, well, maybe I could have like a Patronus on my arm.
Get the little scar on your head.
I don't fucking want the scar.
I think Terry, who works in our LA office, has the Deathly Hallows.
See,
has the Hallows,
I don't, like, the Deathly Hallows to me is a bit too much of, it's a symbol. It's like a logo with a trademark on from like Warner Brothers or something like that.
So Terry doesn't listen.
I mean, Terry, I know several people with a Deathly Hallows thing, but for me, it's
like, now you're calling her an original. Jesus.
Absolutely throwing her under the bus.
Damn it. Cut this out.
But like, for to have like the stag Patronus would also double up as like just a nice design of a stag.
Yeah.
And like, you know, another thing that I know Dale will tut his hand at, his
Floyd,
eyes
mate.
At, sorry.
Oh, but wait.
No, like I quite like Doctor Who. I don't know, you fucking hate Doctor Who.
That's fine, I'm not judging. You like what you like, mate.
But sort of like a little bit of Gallifreyan sort of text, which again is not something that like you just look at and go, he's got fucking TARDIS on his arm
or something like that.
But has a little bit of thing. In the same way that like you just don't have the words Pink Floyd written on you.
No, I have like,
you've got
album
actually
art
the album
stuff.
Art, yeah. Which means something a little bit more than just.
You should have a Dalek peering out of the TARDIS. Just like a little cheeky boy peeking around the corner.
Where am I going to have that? Are you going to do it on my back or
on
something?
Your ass?
You should have Severus Snape in the TARDIS. Double up. Less ink.
Less ink.
Yeah, just a little bit less ink. That's what I'd be trying to get. I think that's it.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about a lot of bullshit, mostly Star Wars related. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back next week. No football day next week. We're doing it twice monthly, remember?
Yeah.
Just in case you cared. Bye.
Bye.
there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.